man. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man. And he spreads the burning sands with water. Water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and he's waiting there for you and me?
You're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Ron Topi, and this is your North State Water Report. The North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced, fresh, homemade, Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Ave, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Open 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, and from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at DrunkenDumplingChico.com. Drunken Dumpling, where they love food, flavor, and our community. So, again, welcome to the North State Water Report. And on tonight's show, I will be speaking with Barbara Vlamis, Executive Director of Aqua Alliance of Northern California, Water Policy Analyst Jim Brobeck, also from Aqua Alliance, and Todd Bishop. Todd is a journalist who grew up in Orland and volunteers for the Sacramento Valley Mirror, an independent twice-weekly newspaper serving Glenn County. He is a Seattle-based business and technology reporter, and he co-founded the tech news site GeekWire. We're going to be talking about the growing amount of groundwater extraction, the consequences of over-extraction, and stuff like sinkholes being observed in this region. And it's great to have you in the studio tonight, Jim. Why don't you... Let's give a quick mic check here. You're on mic one over there.
Ron, it's great to be back in the studio. It's been quite a while since I've been here in person. So it's wonderful to be back in here with the air filter on and the fans running.
Yeah, it's keeping it pretty cool in here, I suppose. So I think I'm going to play a song that was written for Aqua Alliance by Mamuse. Any listeners that don't know who Mamuse is, it is Carisha Longacre and Sarah Nutting, who used to live in Chico, and they formed their band here called Mamuse, and they're very dear to this community. And they recently wrote a song for Aqua Alliance, and it is called River Under the River. And I'm going to play that song while I get Todd on the phone.
Is a river under the river, moving in darkness. in the San Joaquin. Where are the trees? Why all the dust in the Owens Valley? Waters once flowed wildly. This war causes so much tragedy. Water underground into the cracks with you we go. Keeper firsthand the draining of the aquifers leading to the desertification of what are now called the Owens and San Joaquin Valleys in California. Due to extreme extraction, the Sacramento Valley is in danger of this same dry fate. The trees, the salmon, the people are all at stake. As water protector and activist Maud Barlow says, when we extract water from a fertile place to feed a desert, we do not end up with two fertile places. We end up with two deserts. We know this now, and we cannot unknow it. So what will be our legacy? Will we continue to extract water from the north, or choose to make amends for where we have gone south?
We sing out for our lives, sing out in these times for those who cannot speak, reclaim.
And that was Mamuse with the Aqua Alliance song called River Under the River. And I have Todd Bishop on the phone with us now. Are you there, Todd?
I am, Ron. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great. Coming in pretty loud and clear here. Great to have you on the North State Water Report this evening. Let's start right off with you. Why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your interest in writing about North State Water?
Yeah, so as you mentioned in the intro, I'm a business and tech reporter up in Seattle, but I grew up in Orland and ended up coming back to town last year to cover the Amazon facility on the outskirts of Orland, and sort of got interested in covering other local issues, and clearly water is top of the agenda. And so I've been volunteering for the Sacramento Valley Mirror newspaper in Glen County to cover a range of issues, but primarily water and the drought. And I've been doing quite a bit of research in looking into things like patterns of wells and agricultural well drilling in the county to get a sense for some of the issues impacting the groundwater in the area.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed your the time-lapse map that you made of all the groundwater wells throughout the region and just the timeline of how many have gone in and how rapidly over the decades. How did you come to make this map? You know, where'd you get all that data, and who is it that's installing all these wells?
Yeah, so one of the cool things in all of this is that as hard as it is to get data and information, sometimes the state actually now makes available quite a bit of data sets, such as well completion reports for different counties. And so I was able to go into the Department of Water Resources and download a huge CSV, a large spreadsheet file, put it into Microsoft Excel, and with a bunch of, you know, work to make it work, create a time lapse showing where the wells have been going, how deep, over the past century, essentially. And the key trends, I would say, are that you've just had this real spread of agricultural wells in areas that are otherwise irrigated by some of the cheapest water around through the Orland Unit Water Users Association, the Glen Colusa Irrigation District, and others. And it shows the extent to which growers are using groundwater increasingly to supplement the surface water that they receive from these districts. And then simultaneous to that, some of the county records show how field crops have essentially been giving way to orchards. This is really no news to anybody who drives around and sees the many orchards that are going into places that used to be rice land, in particular. And I know Jim can speak to this as well, but the problem with that is you can't fallow an orchard and it still needs water. And so in times of drought, those growers end up turning to the wells that they've drilled to supplement, or in some cases, especially this year, fully replace the surface water that they receive from these districts.
Yeah, so they're becoming dependent on it. How do you know anything about, do some of those growers use their well to irrigate with and actually sell their surface water?
Now, that is something that I think Jim can probably tell you more about. I do know that there are water transfers that go on, the specific accounting for it. I know it gets to be the subject of a lot of disagreements on, you know, which molecules of water represent which allocations and that sort of thing. And I think part of that opaque nature of the whole thing is one of the challenges in getting to the bottom of it. And that's where Barbara and Jim from Aqua Alliance, I know, really specialize and can dig into that.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that they actually kept so much data on groundwater wells. As a landowner, if I want to dig a well, does that mean I have to register it with the state? I mean, how does DWR even know how many wells are out there?
I believe so. I don't know what the actual requirements are in terms of reporting, but it's detailed. And not only that, but you can tell how deep they are. And so, for example, in some of the reporting that I did, you know, there's one well in Glen County, and I know basically where it is. They give it to you in square mile increments, but it's, you know, more than 1,000 feet deep. It's, you know, you're starting to see the depth of wells in the northern Sacramento Valley that you might have seen before in places further south. And so that's one of the trends that I know folks are watching, especially as we get into this summer. And of course, around all of this is the fact that Glen County has about 200 domestic wells go dry over the past year, and there have been a few dozen more, or dozens more, this year so far. And there's a real concern that a lot of the pumping that these ag wells are doing is tapping into the aquifer. And obviously, as they say, it's multiple straws, one glass, and there could be real negative implications even going forward for domestic wells.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I lived on a farm for about 6 years, and we saw the water level go down about 35 feet in that 6 year period from when we first started growing out there and measuring the water at the beginning of the season. And then throughout the season, to watch how the water level would go down, it started being 30 feet deeper at the beginning of each year after we had been out there for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. And yeah, I know that a lot of this can sometimes be cast as domestic well owners pitted against ag well owners. Frankly, a lot of the folks that I end up talking with in Orland are both of those things simultaneously. There was, in particular, one pistachio orchard where they had a home and their domestic well had gone dry. So it's a complex issue, and lots of different interests, and it's certainly lots of shades of gray in here.
Yeah, their home well was probably shallower than their irrigation well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know how much you know about this, and maybe Jim can weigh in on some of this, too, if you feel prompted, Jim, at all. Please do. But, you know, who is it that's been installing these wells? I'm wondering if it's maybe the companies that do the well installations have to report how many wells they install, and that's how the state gets all that data. But yeah.
Jim's take on that, yeah.
Yeah.
Ron, the counties are the ones that oversee the installation of new wells, and of course they do report back to the state. But in Butte County, for instance, it's the Department of Environmental Health that is responsible for issuing permits. They issue the permit, they'll do some sort of inspection afterward and file a well completion report once the well is done.
Okay, that explains that. I've also actually been told, I have a friend who's wanted to remain anonymous because of the other work that they do now, but this friend used to work at the Glen Colusa Water District and has told me that the Glen Colusa Water District has quite a few, like five or six at least, deep wells right along their canal that runs along Highway 45 between Hamilton City and Colusa. Or, you know, where the canal, you know, makes its way west.
Ron, over 10 years ago, the Glen Colusa Irrigation District said they wanted to do an experiment with the Tuscan Aquifer System. And so they filed an environmental assessment, which is a very shallow environmental review of what could happen. They were going to put 10 wells in.
Yeah, that's what I have here. This person told me that they filed a notice of intent to bypass environmental regulations to install 10 more deep water wells.
And so we had a couple lawyers help us, and we filed a challenge to that. We slowed them down, but we didn't stop them. Slowed them down so they could only get 5 wells in. But they did install 5 wells in a portion of the Tuscan Aquifer in the lower Tuscan that had never been taken from that low before. So the further west you go, the further the lower Tuscan Aquifer dives underneath the land surface. And so the Glen Colusa Irrigation District, also known as GCID, did eventually put the wells in. But they've also encouraged their growers to put wells in. So when they do a groundwater substitution transfer that you mentioned, where they forego the water delivery of the river water, they sell that water, and they pump groundwater to replace it to grow their crops, they try to get their individual farmers to participate in that. So this time-lapse video that Mr. Bishop put together shows the vast expansion in the GCID footprint of these wells that have been installed over the past 10 years. It really took off. I mean, that video is incredible, how you see it kind of slowly kicking up, and then the past 10 years, it kind of exploded in Glen County. So the farmers over there in the GCID footprint are all geared up and ready to pump groundwater, not only for supplemental, but for groundwater substitution. And who knows what else? It's not really being very accurately tracked, in my opinion. For instance, Butte County just had a study done on drought impacts. And I talked to the consultants just a day or two ago. And they described how Butte County has had a relatively stable amount of acreage in both rice and orchards. But they failed to analyze what was happening just 5 miles west of Chico on the other side of the river. They failed to look and see how much rice land has been converted to orchards. They failed to look at how many wells have been installed over there. So even though their contract was supposed to look at the cumulative impacts, they did not do a comprehensive job. It was really unfortunate.
Yeah, because we're all drinking out of the same glass.
same aquifer, the same deep pressurized aquifer that is being depressurized by this over-exercise of the aquifer.
So, being a water policy analyst, Jim, is it lack of adequate groundwater protections that has allowed this explosion in groundwater extraction? And I know I've heard of SGMA. Why don't you explain a little bit about SGMA and what policies existed before SGMA and now, what's happening with SGMA?
SGMA is the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. It was formed 2015 is my recollection, and it's been unfolding over the past 5 to 7 years. It was put in place because California finally recognized that this Wild West installation of wells without any oversight by the state was going to cause problems in the aquifers, as it has already in the southern portion of the Great Central Valley. We are, of course, in the northern portion of the Great Central Valley. And unfortunately, it appears that the SGMA process was captured by the big players. You recently did an interview with water journalist Dan Bakker, who talks about regulatory capture. And I was deeply involved in the Northern Butte County Groundwater Sustainability Plan. It's called the Vina Subbasin. I was representing the environmental community, so I was looking out for stream flow. I was looking out for groundwater-dependent vegetation, which includes the valley oak trees. It also includes the Chico urban forest. And myself, as well as some domestic well owners, a member of the business community who has real estate that recognizes the importance of groundwater to his business, and even even a scientist over at the university, a geologist, all recognized that the plan that was being presented to us by the consultants was taking us into an area that was unprecedented, that had targets that began at the historic low levels of the aquifer and allowed for depletion of the aquifer 50 to 80 feet even below the lowest historic level. And this is being defined by these plans as being a sustainable plan, a sustainable exercise of the aquifer. It's Aqua Alliance's analysis that the plan that has been devised is a mirror image of a plan that the Department of Water Resources put together back in 1997 to intentionally dewater the Tuscan Aquifer, or the Butte Basin as they called it, down 100 feet lower than the historic low, in order to create storage space for later attempts to refill it through artificial recharge.
Well, we all know about DWR's conflict of interest because they are, they exist to protect water and property from flooding, yet they're also responsible for the state water projects, water deliveries, and they're accountable to water contractors.
They are. Water contractors are the prime movers in the Department of Water Resources, especially in facilities like the Oroville Reservoir that the contractors are supposed to pay for not only the construction of it, but the operation and the maintenance, which 2017 clearly showed it was not being properly maintained or constructed. That being said, the sustainable groundwater management, I call it a facade, is really in place to enhance the California water market and targeting the aquifer system of Northern California as a supposed new source of water for the rest of the state to try to supposedly give us a reliable source of water. And it's wishful thinking, especially since we're entering not just the third year of a drought here in the northern Sacramento Valley, but the 22nd year of drought in the Colorado River Basin. And the footprint of this mega drought is only spreading north. And this mega drought is very similar to what paleoclimatologists have identified in the past. This could go on for
decades. This could go on for 150 years. We are indeed in a new climate regime. And even though the Sigma plans are supposed to look at climate change, they did not anticipate decades of drought. So they anticipate that they would be able to draw the aquifer down to supply the state of California with water and then refill it during what they call normal years. But the definition of normal is definitely shifting to drier and, unfortunately, much warmer weather. So the paleo droughts of the past are going to be exacerbated by the extreme heat events that we're starting to experience around the planet.
Hey, Ron, if I could jump in, there's
there's
a really interesting milestone coming up next week in Glenn County. There's been a moratorium on ag wells in the county for the past year, and some of the supervisors, Grant Carmen in particular, in Orland, have been talking about what they can do when they reconsider this moratorium next week to basically maybe re-implement it in a more strategic way, or in a way that allows some growing to take place, or some, you know, new ag wells to be dug in a way that doesn't impact the aquifer as much or doesn't impact domestic wells as much. I'm actually really curious to hear what Jim thinks about that, whether anything can be done at the local level, at the Board of Supervisors level, to address even some of the issues that we're looking at and talking about here.
The Glenn Board of Supervisors have instigated moratoriums on new well development in past dry periods, but these are always temporary moratoriums. So it's not comprehensive enough. We need to recognize that the system has been overextended, and that temporary pauses in developing these wells is not going to be sufficient in protecting the resource and providing the North Sacramento Valley with a sustainable source of water as they depressurize the lower aquifer with these extremely deep wells. The more shallow layers above them leak into the lower aquifer in a way that dewaters streams and dewaters vegetation and dewaters domestic wells that are not 1,000 feet deep or 1,200 feet deep or 1,500 feet deep.
Yeah.
I heard of a well over on the far west side that's chased it down to 1,500 feet, which I think is an unprecedented depth in Northern California.
Wow.
Yeah. Jim, I misspoke earlier. I looked back at my story after I said that. It was 1,500 feet. You're right.
And what's happened in the San Joaquin Valley should raise the awareness of what is potential up here. The geology is quite similar. The reason they built the Central Valley Project back right before World War II and developed it after that was because the San Joaquin Valley had overextended its plantings, and they were starting to experience subsidence where layers of clay that are in the subterranean geology dried out, and these clay layers shrink never to be filled back up again. And it was causing infrastructure problems down there. So they created the Central Valley Project to share some of the so-called surplus water of the Sacramento River with the San Joaquin Valley. Unfortunately, instead of being satisfied with that, it only caused an increase in expectations of not just a reliable supply, but an expanded supply. So the footprint of agriculture expanded into what was prior to that unirrigated grazing land. And so the subsidence has continued in the San Joaquin Valley. And what we're seeing now is the early stages of extreme subsidence on the western side of the Northern Sacramento Valley. So, for instance, in the Arbuckle area, there's been subsidence of well over 2 feet over the past years. And the maps I saw from an annual report for the Colusa Subbasin, GSA, indicates that this is spreading north all the way to Orland and the subsidence occurrences are accelerating as the demand on the aquifer increases, as the irrigation districts supplement their water supply with groundwater and engage in water transfers. They continue, although this year I doubt they will engage in water transfers. There's a real deficit of water this year. They may, they'll probably do one with the Tehama-Calusa Canal, and they will implement that probably again by groundwater substitution, claiming that it's not going to damage the basin because it's the water's staying within the basin, but it is a, it's a, it's an invalid excuse to be engaging in this. It's time for the humans up here to recognize the limitations and the carrying capacity. If we do want to see a future of agriculture, if we do want to see a future of salmon and river flows and stream flows, and if we do want to see the continuance of valley oak trees and urban forests up here that you don't see anymore in the San Joaquin Valley. Hundreds of thousands of acres of valley oaks in the San Joaquin Valley no longer can exist because the groundwater has been pulled down below 80 feet down there. And we have similar risks up here.
Wow.
It's such a tough issue because the economy, especially in Glen County, is so dependent on this. And it's tough because you've got these growers who are expecting, you know, the rain in the foothills to supply them their water, and then it doesn't come, and they're looking for a way to sustain their business. And you can see where this groundwater pumping would become an alternative. Jim, I'm curious, are you saying, is the solution to basically say no groundwater pumping for ag?
No.
Okay.
The first step is to stop expanding groundwater pumping. The conversion of rice fields, which, as you said before, are something that can be fallowed strategically during dry periods. We need to quit converting rice land, which you can only, which you can't make as much money per acre as you can with nuts. And that's why they've been ripping the clay to plant the orchard so they can make more money, so that the investors in farmland can make more money. But it's only going to be a short-term profit, so they need to quit expanding the transformation of rice fields into orchards, and we need to value the rice fields when rice is grown in a benign fashion. It provides an economic base for the area. It provides an excellent food for human beings, and it provides a habitat for birds during the winter. And these are things that orchards don't provide. Orchards provide luxury foods, mostly for export, and don't have the wildlife habitat values that that rice fields that have flooding during the winter for decomp have. So, no, I'm not saying no pumping, although it will come to that if we keep exploiting it, because underneath this thin layer of fresh water, we've got 1,000 feet or more of salt water under this, and if you deplete the fresh water too much, you're going to start pulling salt water into the system, and that'll be it. That'll be it for the agriculture. The groundwater-dependent agriculture in the northern Sacramento Valley if we contaminate the water with salt.
Yeah, salt water's not good. We're going to have to take a quick station identification break, and Todd, I really wanted to try to get you talking about sinkholes as well, but we're going to have to take a break, and I'm going to bring Barbara Vlamis on after the break.
Yep.
It was great having you, Todd. We've had Todd Bishop on here tonight, and he put together a time-lapse map and has written about groundwater, you know, the growth of groundwater wells in our region and problems associated with it. And where can people find your work? I know
You can subscribe to the print edition of the Sacramento Valley Mirror,
right,
or the sinkhole story that you referenced, which, by the way, was based on an Aqua Alliance public records request. So Barbara will be great to talk about that.
Right, right.
That was in Chico Sol, so I'm sure you can point folks to that.
I did notice the Sacramento Valley Mirror has a Facebook page. Can people read articles on there?
Not articles, but the map that we've been referencing, the time lapse, there is a post on the Valley Mirror Facebook page with that video, so
okay.
That's worth checking out.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll post that to my KZFR North State Water Report page too as well, so folks can go check that out. It's pretty important information that we all understand what's happening with our water up here in North State.
And as Todd mentioned, the Valley Mirror generously shared the sinkhole article that talks about the numerous sinkholes that are developing in Glenn County and Chico Sol. That's ChicoSOL.org. It is an online news publication. So I hope listeners check that out. It's an excellent article.
Yeah, yeah, I really like the Chico Sol as well. All right, well, thanks for coming on, Todd. And if you want to come back on the show, just let me know anytime. If you've got some further information that you wanted to talk about tonight, I am on the first Thursday of each month at 6 to 7 p.m. So just let us know.
Will do. Thank you, Ron. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Bye.
And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Jim Brobeck, because outside of not only being a water policy analyst for Aqua Alliance, Jim is one of my favorite local singer-songwriters. And he's gonna play a song for us while I work on getting Barbara on the phone for the second half of the show. Used to run all year round now.
sell the water, want more cash to build some dams, but they'll never satisfy Stuart Resnick's demands. They say they want sites, but they punch it in wells. The Tuscan aquifer sold it cheap sites to sell if you watch your well.
Thanks, Jim. That was Jim Brobeck with the song. What's the name of that song, Jim?
Watch Your Well.
Watch Your Well. Thanks a lot for giving us a little break there, Jim. And you are listening to 90.1 FM Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Ron, and this is your North State Water Report. And tonight I've been talking with Jim Brobeck from Aqua Alliance. He's a water policy analyst and investigative journalist, Todd Bishop, about groundwater extraction and the growth of the amount of wells that have been installed in our region here between Butte County and Glen Colusa counties. For the second part of the show here, I have executive director from the Aqua Alliance, Barbara Vlamis, on the line. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Great. Great to have you on tonight.
Pleasure to be with you.
All right. We've got the power duo from Aqua Alliance with us tonight. So you talking to you, it sounds like you've listened to the first half of the show, and we were talking about all the groundwater wells, and Jim talked about Sigma and the policy surrounding all these wells going in. What's your take on it all? And I also want to get into what the consequences are of Jim went into some of the hydrology, and maybe you could go a little bit more if you feel there's more to explain. And there was an article by Todd Bishop that he says he got most of his information for the article from Aqua Alliance about all these sinkholes that have been popping up all around Orland, and maybe you could talk about that.
I'd be glad to. If you don't mind, I would like to build on the Sigma material and then segue into the sinkholes.
Absolutely.
I'd like your listeners to know that we have filed three lawsuits against three of the Sigma plans in this region, on the west side and the east side of the river, encompassing both Glen, Colusa, and Butte counties, because the plans are so egregious that we were compelled, despite participating in their public processes and commenting, and Jim spending hundreds of hours participating in their public meetings on the VINA plan. They still went forward with plans, as Jim laid out in the earlier part of the program. They're going to allow the groundwater to collapse, causing significant number of domestic wells and small ag wells, shallower ag wells, to go dry without it even, causing a ripple in their thinking. It's atrocious. On the west side of the valley, they could allow up to and even beyond 20% of domestic wells to go dry as an acceptable part of their plan. And we looked at that and kept going, what are you thinking, people? And what
do they expect people to do for water if their domestic well goes dry?
Well, you can see, look at the poor people that struggled last year, and DWR's solution to try to help those folks is to truck in bottled water. You can take a shower with bottled water. There's no planning in these documents for how they would mitigate. I mean, it's one thing if society deems that, the good of putting some water to a better use is of such significance, then they dang well should pay people, you know, for their for the taking of their property, basically, and the damage to their life. And there's no mitigation for things like that in these plans. So we filed 3 lawsuits to try to stop this and cause the state to either reject them or we will stop them in court.
Well, hopefully that stops them in court.
Yeah, it's an egregious overreach of the local, what I call the water brethren, who have had plans for multiple decades to wrap their arms around the groundwater basin and use it for private profit and water export. And clearly, Ron, you know that we are completely opposed to that because we care about the local environment, the local economy, and the human population that is dependent on what used to be the largesse of the water in this region. And now we have to be more protective of our water resources because of climate change and all the implications that come from that.
Yeah, it just keeps getting drier and drier. So domestic wells going dry and not having a mitigation plan for that is one of the consequences. That takes us to these sinkholes, and Jim was talking about subsidence as well, as consequences of depressurizing the deep aquifer. Could you talk some about that?
I'd be glad to. We didn't know anything about this until January of this year, when I happened to have a little window of time and was going through some of the minutes from meetings, these, you know, many meetings that occur regarding water in this region. And they just kind of casually discussed sinkholes popping up east of Orland. And, you know, my eyes just about popped out of my head. And the same day I read that, I contacted Glenn County and the Department of Water Resources in Red Bluff, who was mentioned in the minutes as looking at these sinkholes, to ask for more information. I thought I put in a friendly request for information. There was dead silence. And so a couple of days go by, and I nudge them again, and nothing. And so then it became very clear that I was going to have to submit formal California Public Records Act requests to get information out of these folks, which we did, and so it took another 6 weeks, so I didn't see anything beyond the minutes until March. And once we got the material, it became clear they knew about this since August of 2021. And I was, you know, it was egregious to see such a thing that was not shared with the public. That there is ground that is collapsing to such a degree that one property owner, it took multiple dump truck loads of soil to try to fill it. And, you know, he kept, and it was asking, where is it going? This hole is so large that you're pumping 6 dump truck loads of soil in, and it just keeps disappearing. And This is reaping what one sows, and I have empathy for the people involved. It's always, you know, the smaller player in the society that suffers from the decisions and activities of the people that think they're elites. Here we have a county that is, you know, it has been and still is run by the powerhouse economic engine, which is big ag, not just little ag, but big ag. And Todd brought this up about how agriculture is, and we understand that. Very important to Glenn County, and no one wants it to go away, but they have a big player that wants to, as Jim also discussed, dabble in and become a serious player in the water market. To the demise of their neighbors. It's just heinous and egregious that this continues and that the county sees itself as so helpless to do anything against these main players that will harm people, and these sinkholes are an exact a clear demonstration of what happens when you dabble with, you know, you play with nature too much. And they're harming the groundwater basin, and in creating, in doing these transfers and allowing groundwater to collapse so much, what they intend to do, let's be clear, is they want to create space. And they want the space in the groundwater basin so if there ever is any extra or surplus water, they can recharge it. Because in that way, they take over ownership of the groundwater basin. So that over time, as it occurred in the San Fernando Valley, the little people, again, will no longer have a right to the water under their land, which they do now, because someone will have recharged it with so much water, they've taken over ownership. So there are many issues at play. I know some of this is complicated, but I hope that made sense to you, and I hope to your listeners.
It does make sense to me. You know, I'm just curious about these sinkholes, and you said they were just kind of in the minutes, and they were casually talking about them. How many of them are there, and what are they claiming is the cause of these sinkholes?
Well, that's a rather fascinating piece of all of this. There are potentially hundreds of sinkholes because some of them are little. Some of them are large. One of the maps I looked at from our material obtained from the public records, it looks like one property owner maybe had 70 on his alone. The implications of these is that you would hope that either Glenn County or DWR, who is supposed to oversee this kind of problem, would have the resources and also the interest in discovering what's causing it. And in what I have found from communication before and after the public records request was that Each public entity, Glenn County and DWR, they keep pointing at each other. You ought to do it, or you ought to do it. You know, Glenn County says we don't have resources, and our sustainable groundwater management, you know, agency, I don't think this is in our jurisdiction. So they're pleading that they should opt out of responsibility of looking into it. And DWR says, "Well, we don't have resources. We're the office up in Red Bluff, and we don't have resources to look into this. Glenn County should apply for a grant." So they want somebody to study it, but they don't want to get involved.
and it's
atrocious.
This is all around the area where the growth in groundwater extraction has been. Correct? Like, if you look at the time-lapse map that Todd Bishop had put together, it's all in that same area that they just expanded all this groundwater extraction, and now there's sinkholes everywhere.
Right, and they're surprised that there's a result that is negative. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, it just seems to me like it makes... I'm not a hydrologist, and it just makes sense to me that altering the natural hydrological cycle long enough and exploiting it long enough, you're going to end up with consequences, and at some point that natural cycle just might even shut down on you.
Well, and it does. You know, everyone has heard this saying, nature vats last.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in the negative column for humans if you push it that far. That we have pushed the limits that far that you know, nature takes over and basically tells you who's boss, and sadly, that appears to be what's happening.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get. You know, when I see all these seasonal creeks drying up earlier and earlier every year, some of them barely have flow even during the winter time, and you know, Chico Creek is pretty low. I know the Sacramento River is really low because they're just not letting water out right now, but yeah, it just seems to be getting drier and drier.
It does, which, you know, smart people would figure out you have to live within your limitations because you don't want the whole system to collapse. But we have people that are so hell-bent on making money and exploiting whatever they can, they could sink the whole valley, as they did in the San Joaquin. And we sure know we don't want to see that.
Yeah, I want to invite Jim back in here if he has anything he wants to add to any of this, about the sinkholes and these consequences that we're starting to see.
I want to emphasize something that Barbara brought up about the privatization of the aquifer.
Yeah.
I brought the need to have legal analysis of artificial recharge projects brought forward in the Vina subbasin, and we're fortunate to have our attorney, Valerie Kincaid, compose a white paper that showed that when someone diverts water to recharge the aquifer, then that diverted water is credited to the diverter, and it doesn't fall underneath groundwater ordinances or groundwater law. It becomes subject to surface water law, and surface water has water right allocation and ownership. And as it stands right now, the groundwater is a public resource. It's the commons. But what happens when you engage in artificial recharge experiments, and I want to emphasize, it doesn't necessarily work, and they can still get credit for it, that there will be ownership. So whether you're taking water from the Paradise Irrigation District and running it through Cal Water and doing in-lieu recharge, or if you're creating some kind of settling basins, you have to be very careful about protecting the legal status of that groundwater, because once it becomes a privately owned resource, it no longer falls under the jurisdiction of local protection ordinances, and it can be integrated into the state water market. And the Governor Newsom's water resiliency plan has numerous references to streamlining environmental process and streamlining water rights, new water rights for recharge projects. So the state of California is definitely ramping up their interest in privatizing the aquifer system underneath our feet that provides the sustenance for the quality of life that we enjoy, our trees, our urban canopy, our stream flow, and our shallow aquifer wells. It's very important that we're aware of both the legal and the scientific consequences of these water policies that are unfolding.
Yeah, we have about 1 minute left. Barbara, is there anything that you would like to add? I'd love to bring you back on again in the future, and you know, one of the things that a topic that I'd really like to see talked about here on our North State Water Report is, like, who is making all the money off of this water? You know, are some of the small farms in this region actually selling off their surface water and using groundwater? You know, where's all the water that's being sold coming from, and who's making all the money on it?
Well, we'd love to talk to you further about that. It's certainly not coming from small farmers. Mm-hmm. It's coming from large irrigation districts and the people that are in those districts that have entitlements to river water.
And in some cases have connections with the big water districts in the San Joaquin Valley. Ron, I would like to... I'd like to make a closing comment that Aqua Alliance engages in the planning process. We don't just sue. We don't just challenge.